This is the first Sunday in Lent, and these are the announcements. The meet and greet with Father Ward is after Mass today. Please form a line in the hall, and you will be brought into the priest's meeting room to see Father. The blessed ashes will be imposed after Mass today on those who were unable to assist at Mass on Ash Wednesday. There will be the blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction this evening. Tomorrow the Mass is at 8:30, followed by the cleaning of the chapel and the hall, which I understand we could use help on the hall. Friday, the Mass will be at 7:30 in the morning, but that evening we will have Stations of the Cross at 7 p.m., followed by Benediction of the Blessed Sacrament and Confessions. This week we will have the Ember Days of Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. The obligation to fulfill your Easter duty, receiving Holy Communion during this time, begins today and ends on Trinity Sunday, which is June 16th. The feast for this week today is the Feast of the 40 Holy Martyrs. Tuesday is the Feast of St. Gregory the Great. Today also begins the Novena to St. Joseph, which is our devotion to our patron and father of our community and everyone here. And so you are all welcome to join us with the Novena. So after Mass, you can go to the hall, and if you want to see Father, you can, and just get online. And we had to wait because last week it was the snow, so we postponed until today. You can receive ashes after Mass if you have not already. You can have articles blessed after Mass. We will not have benediction today. Cleaning of the chapel tomorrow. Station of the Cross, we are not because of time constraints, which, surprise, we're not going to go into this, but the word to the wise: if you neglect to participate in the walking of the Station of the Cross, and we're wearing the vestment of Our Lady of Sorrows, the Blessed Mother started the devotion. You're really missing an opportunity. Station of the Cross on Friday. The Ember Days, we're not saying anything about them. The ancient practice in the church, going back to the apostles, and Easter duty. And then, of course, the Novena St. Joseph, which every year we always have needs. So we all know, you all know your needs. Father will always give us an intention for the Novena, so he will do that. We all have our own, too. I think I speak for everyone. But I do want to just mention this. I cannot tell you the story. I read it last night, and I don't remember all these details. This is the story of today's feast, these 40 Holy Martyrs. We have the records. This is from approximately 320 AD. We have the account written by one of these 40 people. Can't tell you it. Look it up. I'll just say this. He was one of the youngest. I don't think he was the youngest one. They were soldiers put out on the ice. They would not renounce Christ. You know the story. And they just they were out there for 3 days, and they were slowly dying under the influence of the weather and everything. It's at this time of year, it's freezing over there in Armenia. And he was one of the last ones, this one that was wrote down things. He was one of the younger ones. And it was right near the town. They were one of the part of the guard of this town there on the frontier. And so they just threw him out on the lake right outside the town. Well, this one, they were trying to get them all to renounce Christ. And he was left at the end. At the end, the ones who had not succumbed yet, they just went out and killed them. And they let this man's mother come to him. And she came out and encouraged him to give his life for Christ. But the only thing, so you know the basic story, but the one thing I want to point out here is that, as you know, one of these 40, after a day or so, they had nice fire and everything on the shore, you know, trying to entice them. And one of them, as you know, gave up and came ashore. And he got into the hot bath, and the extreme change in temperature for him, he actually died. So he came off the ice to save himself, and he actually died. But there was a soldier on the side that he was watching this, and he had a message from God, seeing the 40 angels coming with the crowns for these martyrs. And of course, he saw that one crown was available. So this pagan, on the spot, ran out to claim the crown and become a Christian by giving his life. And we just give it as a catechism instruction, because what do we call that? That's baptism by blood. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone, that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience, in tribulations, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he will give his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We want to make a quick reference for the people who still have to receive their ashes, and maybe a reminder for those who have, then to talk about the Lenten liturgy, and finally about the temptations of Christ. So the quick word for those who are going to receive ashes: these are sacramentals. For the full benefit of them, you want to receive them with the greatest devotion, the greatest sorrow for sins, because sacramentals depend on the recipient, the minister, and the church at large. They're not sacramentals that automatically do these things. We must bring something to it. The benefits: eternal. The potential benefits for you are that you receive an increase of grace, the forgiveness of venial sins, the removal of temporal punishment of sin, the curing of illnesses, and the benefit of material blessings and great protection against the devil. So that's all we can tell you about that. Just a reminder, so if you are going to receive your ashes, that, and that's a good thing to remember for everybody about sacramentals. Now, we have begun, I want to make a note here from St. Paul. We all do it. We all do it. I'm praying for this, and God's not hearing me. Name it. You can name the intention. He's not hearing me. I've been praying for 5 minutes. I've been praying for a month. I've been praying for a year. How about 30 years? St. Monica, for St. Augustine. But how about what St. Paul says? Okay. This is the Holy Ghost telling us through St. Paul. In an acceptable time, I have heard thee. And in the day of salvation, I have helped thee. We're not God. So just because you start praying, it's not the acceptable time yet. It is not the day of salvation. God knows what's the best moment. So I understand. We all have it. I'm praying. As soon as you get that thought, oh, by the way, you notice that is a temptation of the devil. He's trying to discourage you from praying. Oh, I've already prayed, nothing happened. You see what's going on? So remember these words. God is the one. He knows when is the acceptable time, when is the best time to give the grace. Many times, it's at a person's death. That's the most important. That is the day of salvation. So if you want to think about it, you have to think, I'm in this for the long haul. Prayer is one of the great signs of a true prayer is perseverance. The acceptable time, the day of salvation, might be your own death or the person you're praying for. And that's what we can say. But now, what is it? And you may be weary of hearing the same thing all the time about the sacred liturgy. Hopefully not, because that is the way to get to heaven. St. John Vianney used to tell his people, prayer of all kinds is good. But when we pray our own personal prayers of devotion, it's as if we take a little straw and we light a little fire to keep warm. And as soon as that straw goes away, we're cold again. He says, liturgical prayer, the prayer of Christ through Holy Mother the Church, that is the prayer of an inferno. It's the fire of love. It does not burn out. So that's the reason why we keep talking about liturgy. Yes, we all have our prayers and devotions, but the prayer of any Catholic is the liturgy. So you can, well, this is, the priest is trained in this. He's totally imbued with this, so that's why you keep hearing it. If it doesn't, if that's not the case, and sometimes the priest talks about special devotions and things like that, but it's all linked to the liturgy always. If that's not the case, then we have the little fires that burn out. And that is the lack of whatever. We'll go into that. Whatever's missing in that, missing in the concept. Okay? So a little defense of why we keep talking about the liturgy. And of course, Holy Mother Church, by the way, takes those words of St. Paul and says, this season of Lent is one of those acceptable times. This is one of those times when prayers will be answered and help will be given. That's why it's in this Mass today. So you want to come to this liturgy of Lent with all the fervor you can muster. We already know there's no way we're going to say what we have in mind. Oh, of course, in our feeble little peanut size mind of a human being, God's mind is infinite, so we can imagine what he has to tell us. That's always the case. But we want you to know this. We are about to go into battle. We're in battle. That's where we started. This is a war. And, of course, we're always trying to encourage everybody not to look at Lent as this very morose and scary time. And that's true, because we want to encourage everybody. So we're going to encourage everybody today also. But I want to tell you something else. All the great generals, because we're at war, all of the great generals told the soldiers, I don't want a soldier who's not afraid. Is that counterintuitive? I don't want a soldier who is not afraid. What that means is, I want soldiers who are afraid. And he told them why. Because that is going to be the little cautionary thing that will keep you from making mistakes. I don't want somebody who's not afraid of anything, because he's going to be making mistakes. He's going to be endangering his fellow soldiers. He's going to put the whole mission into risk. And so you know what? That fear and trepidation of going into Lent, that's good. You are good soldiers. Because we are going into battle. And who are we fighting? We're fighting the devil. You heard me just say what sacramentals do. They give us protection against the devil. Well, the liturgy is the weapon against the devil. That is why he attacks it. And we don't have to go into that. You're here because you know the difference. Most Catholics, well, we can't say that really. Most Catholics have recognized something wrong, and they just, as I heard one say myself with these ears, it's not the church of my Blessed Mother or of the Holy Eucharist. So, unfortunately, most Catholics just don't go. Now, who's the winner there? The devil. He's trying to separate us from what is the weapon that attacks him. Okay. I can't go into more detail there, but you can hear certain things like, where is the stational church today, St. John Lateran? What is a stational church? That was the place where the soldier was put on his station to guard. What are we doing on Fridays? We're going to the stations of the cross. The soldiers are coming out with the general. What does St. Paul tell us in this epistle? Put on the armor of justice and truth. We're going to war. And we always love to hear the words of Pope Benedict XIV, which he wrote in 1741. The observance of Lent is the bond of union in our army. By it, we are distinguished from the enemies of the cross of Christ. By it, we turn aside the chastisements of God's wrath. By its means, being guarded by heavenly support during the day, we fortify ourselves against the Prince of Darkness. If this observance comes to be relaxed, It is to the detriment of God's glory, to the dishonor of the Catholic religion, and to the peril of souls. Nor can it be doubted that such negligence will become a source of misfortune to nations, of disaster in public affairs, and of adversity to individuals. That's prophetic. We're living out what the Pope prophesied. The three great weapons in our battle for Lent: fasting, almsgiving, and prayer. I'm going to concentrate for a moment on prayer, which we always do. And the two great groups of people that Lent was built around are the catechumens, people studying the catechism, become Catholics, and the penitents. And all the people, by popular demand, watched what was happening to these catechumens studying the catechism and everything that was happening for them during these days. And they watched these public penitents getting the ashes and everything that was happening to them. And by popular demand, all the people said, "We want to be part of that." And so everyone became public penitents. Have we all become catechumens again? Do we ever look at the catechism at all anymore? So that's the mindset as we go along. And what is the greatest prayer? It's the Mass. This is repetition. I just said it on Ash Wednesday. I'm saying it again. If you, obviously everyone can't come to daily Mass. If you want to come to daily Mass, join the convent, join the priests. But you can't. The society militates against that. But you must, and this is the time to do it, make it a penance. Read the Mass texts for every day. Lent is so important that every single day has its own Mass. That should be telling you something. Telling you to think and pray with the mind of the Church. Yes, private devotions are great, but that's just a little straw. You want to pray with the mind of the Church, and the Church is telling you the mind it has every day of the year in every day of Lent. I made a list of what things are in store for those who are generous enough to at least read and think about. Praying is and lifting the heart to those thoughts. Just a list of what secrets are in store for those for the first week. I am just going to say words of the Masses. I myself will feed my sheep. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My house is a house of prayer. Arise and eat, for you still have a long way to go. Whoever does the will of my Father, he is my mother and my brother and my sister. All souls are mine. Great is thy faith, be it done to thee as thou wish. My will is that sinners be converted and live. Thou art made whole. Go forth and sin no more. I have chosen thee this day. Keep my commandments, and God will destroy your enemies. Let the Gentiles know that you are God. Crush your enemies. Pray without ceasing. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. If that doesn't tantalize you, I pray that you change your heart. Any one of those things will make you a saint. Okay, the temptations. Well, as a good general, our Lord is going to lead us. And so what does he do? He is overturning everything that went wrong. He has replaced Eve and what she did with the second Eve, the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we can't, although this month we have the Feast of the Annunciation, so we're going to see how he did that. He's going to duplicate everything that happened in the garden with the Blessed Virgin Mary and see how it was supposed to go. But he is a second Adam. And he's not going to wait in his little perfect garden to have the enemy attack him, as in paradise. He is going to go out. And of course, where God's world is in paradise, we know it's beautiful and everything. But where the devil lives, it's dead. There's no life. And so our Lord goes right into his garden, the desert. And he's going to undo. Oh, you want us to take this fruit? It looks good, and it's going to taste good, and it's going to give us this knowledge like that of God. So our Lord says, okay, I'm going to come right where you are. And I'm not going to eat anything for 40 days and 40 nights. And then when my human nature is at its weakest, you can come now and attack. I'm going to show my soldiers what to do. And so we heard the temptations. So we cannot go into the details. This battle, of course, it says, not in this account, but the other account, St. Luke, he says that the devil left him for a time. This was the one direct face-to-face battle, and Christ defeated him, obviously, easily. Oh, I'm sorry, there's nothing you're doing when you see me reacting, because I'm just thinking of all of the thoughts there. Can't go there. Can't do that. Oh, but I mean, not bad. I mean, I can't go into describe, like right now I'm thinking, I have to describe what is the nature of these temptations. I can't do that. Oh, one of the reasons, besides the usual reason, the other reason is we have to leave as much time as possible for everyone who wants to see Father. So, can't go into those things. But I do want to say two things. This Psalm 90 it's introduced here to make up for. Here's another thought. So, by the way, you see, these temptations of the devil, they still go on. And people succumb to these things. So do not be surprised if you ever hear said that there are some people who worship the devil. You know why? He has told them, you see everything, all the world's riches and everything, I'll give them to you. All you have to do is worship me. Our Lord didn't, he dismissed that. But you know, there are some people that go for that. Just so you know. But anyway, the devil, here's another thing. Don't be fooled if people use the scriptures against us. They can't do that, of course, as the devil tried. But you see, he did it. They're following him. And he picked on his fellow angels, you notice. He said, go ahead, throw yourself down. Those angels used to be my brothers. They'll save you. Look at Psalm 90. It tells you that. So your foot won't even touch one of those stones. And Holy Mother of the Church, to make up for it, all the texts of this Mass are from Psalm 90. And you can think of people, I think of people on their deathbeds asking to hear that psalm repeated. The psalm of confidence to carry us through Lent. So that's a key. Use this psalm. Pray this psalm. Was this a psalm our Lord prayed in the garden when he was again attacked? His human nature was attacked about all of the suffering he was about to undergo? Was he calling out for the angels to help him again and come and minister to him? Was that what brought the angel to him in the garden? But throughout his career, the devil, not directly, but was sending his agents, always harassing him, mocking him, blaspheming him. And remember what they actually said at the moment of our salvation on the cross. Remember what they said to him, the devil tempting even at the last second through these agents. Come down from the cross and we will believe. Even at the last moment, the battle is going on. Okay, only other thing is, this psalm and the angels are here to protect us. So all throughout Lent, every single day in the prayers of the church, the prayers of this psalm are repeated. To make up, the angels are outraged that one of their own touched our Lord and moved him around. Our Lord let that happen. And blasphemed him and tempted him to his face. And so the angels are making up for it all during Lent. We will always be looking out for you, as the psalm says. So with these sentiments, let us go forth as great soldiers in a great army. Because now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. May God bless you.